WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And I apologize again if my voice is a little bit off. I think I'm dealing with a cold. Doesn't really feel like a cold, but I've certainly had something going on in the back of my throat all weekend. So if it sounds a little rough, I apologize, but we'll get through it. And we've got a lot to cover today. In the 7 o'clock hour, it is Money Monday. We'll be joined by Manny, the Money Man Resendiz, to talk about your money, to talk about retirement, to talk about how can you even think about retirement with the economy the way it is today. So we'll talk to him about all that and more. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we will have the return of New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo joining us. And what better time there would be for that, because if you saw the meeting on Thursday, if you've read some of the coverage of what happened in that meeting, basically the city council has decided to filibuster any of the mayor's business that is not essential in their eyes to the operation of the city. So they are going to use their power. And the reason for this is because they are upset that the police chief was not brought before them for confirmation. They have decided to go forward with the lawsuit, even though they need the administration to sign off on them spending the money for that. And then they're also, so they're going to go forward with that, but they're also going to stand in the way of any of the mayor's requests to the council that they feel are not essential for the operation of the city. We'll have Council President Burgo explain all that to us when he comes in the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, there's a lot that we can discuss that went on over the weekend. I kind of just stayed in over the weekend. I went out for a little bit yesterday, but as I said, I wasn't feeling great, feeling kind of run down, so I just stayed in and got caught up on rest and sleep, because starting next weekend, I'm going to be all over the place. Next Sunday, I will be in Raynham for Cryptid Fest 2. It's going to be a day of ghosts and cryptids and all kinds of stuff in Raynham. And then I'm going to be the featured speaker talking about ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle. So we'll get into some of that later on this week, what we're going to be discussing then. But there were some local stories that I wanted to tackle. We can still, of course, talk about everything that's going on in the national news at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But there are a couple of local things I want to bring up. You heard Mike Roberts tell you the story in the news about the dog that was found. And I hate having to start your morning with stories of animal abuse. Unfortunately, it's been too often in recent months that we've had to do this. But this story is very strange, and the police are looking for the public's help with any information on this, so we want to make sure that we can get them any of that information. If somebody out there listening might know something about this. But this goes all the way back to September 1st, that a storage bin was found floating in the water near the yacht club. The Tiverton Yacht Club. And in this storage bin, they found the remains of a dog, a deceased dog, inside, wrapped in a red button-down long-sleeve shirt, along with three bags of ice and a pillow, which is concerning because I don't want to speculate on this, and I certainly don't want to upset anybody out there listening as I do, but it makes me wonder if the dog was deceased when it went into the storage bin. And when the and the dog, by the way, was black with a small white patch of fur on her chest and weighed between 60 and 80 pounds, possibly a Labrador Pit Bull mix, 8 years old. And the police said that based on initial inspection, it is possible that the dog may have been or was recently pregnant. So I don't know what kind of sick person does something like this, even if it was something happened to the dog and the dog passed away. Why would you put it in a, wrap it up, put it in a storage bin? And the bags of ice are particularly concerning. Was that because you didn't want the dog to decompose? You want to slow that down? Or was that because, you know, you put the dog in there while it was still alive and you were hoping that it would be lulled to sleep by the cold? The whole thing is very confusing and concerning and sounds worse than some of the other animal abuse cases that we've heard in some of these recent months. Most of the stories that we've heard recently were about dogs left in cars or cats left in cars in the case in New Bedford. But it's this just doesn't sit right with me at all. I mean, none of them do, but this one especially seems heinous. So hopefully we get some more information on that, and hopefully they can find out who's responsible relatively quickly. But why are we in this position as a society that we have more of this animal abuse taking place than I can remember? Is it that we are... Did we make it too easy for people that shouldn't have animals to have animals? Have we not kept tabs on the people who do pose a risk to having animals? You know, people who might have had incidences in the past and then... Or some... I mean, that's certainly the case that happened with... it was the Middleborough case, I believe, that happened earlier in the year or maybe late last year, where someone had had a long history of doing this. And the question became, how do they keep getting pets? How do they keep getting dogs if they have this history of abusing dogs? But for some reason, they still can get their hands on them. So that's of concern as well. And speaking of animals, we also had an interesting story, a story that kind of developed a little bit over the course of Friday. Something that I was going to talk about Friday morning, but I was kind of waiting for some more information. But we had an incident where a bear was reported in the woods, in Dartmouth, sorry. In the Pascomancet, Gidley Woods area, where there's the bridge, the stone bridge, the King's Bridge, they call it, King's Highway Bridge. A mother bear and cub were seen crossing that bridge. And that's what the Dartmouth Natural Resources Trust reported on their Facebook page. They said, you know, just a heads up to anybody that's coming out here and going, walking, hiking, that these bears were seen. And here are some tips if you encounter a bear, you know, the ones that we hear all the time. Speak in a loud voice, but not threatening. Walk slowly away from the bear. Don't run. you know, back away. Keep your eye on the bear, but back away slowly. Don't approach the bear. Keep dogs on a leash. Never allow the dogs to chase or interact with the bears, things like that. So, sorry, I'm going to try to avoid doing that in your ear. So as with any bear sighting, whenever there's a bear report, I reach out to Dave Waddles, who is the black bear and fur bearer biologist from Mass Wildlife. And I ask him, you know, questions about the bear sightings. Have there been other sightings in the area? Are you tracking this bear? What are the statistics? Are we seeing more of them this year? Because Mass Wildlife has been very hesitant to say that bears have settled in the area. They say that this is a, you know, whenever there's a bear in the area, they say that it's been something that's wandered in from somewhere else in search of either food or a mate. And that's why, you know, they're coming through and that they'll just kind of do their thing and then they'll go back to where they came from. They are saying that there are not any permanent bear residents of southeastern Massachusetts. People are not believing them. So I reached out to Dave Waddles, who I believe was actually on vacation based on the email that I got back, but he still responded to me anyway. And he said that it is, quote, not impossible but unlikely that what was seen in the Dartmouth Woods was a mother and cub, or that they were bears at all. He said, I'm skeptical that it was an accurate sighting. Likely it was someone who saw something that they were mistakenly calling a sow with cubs. He said there hadn't been any bear sightings in southeastern Massachusetts this year since very early in the year. And he said it's fairly easy to track the bears as the sightings come in our portion of the state here. He said, I would be very surprised to have a sow with cubs in that area and the first sighting to be at that location. Not impossible, but unlikely. Well, then I reached out to the DNRT and spoke with their director to find out what they had to say about it. What they thought about, you know, first of all, kind of what was the report that came in. And Nick Wildman, who is the executive director of the DNRT, said that actually staff have seen signs of bears throughout the course of the season. They've seen tracks. They've seen footprints. They said this is the first time they've heard of a bear and a cub, but that they've seen evidence of bears previously. So I don't know which side you want to believe in this bear debate, but this is what's been happening when we've had bears, where people have had these stories, these reports, these encounters, and then we've shared them with Mass Wildlife, and Mass Wildlife has said, yeah, probably not. And then sometimes Mass Wildlife has had to go back and say, yeah, it actually turns out it was true. There was the case where a bear got hit in the road in Plymouth or was almost hit or something. And if I remember right, there was skepticism by Mass Wildlife if there really was a bear. And then it turns out there was a bear. So I don't know. All I know is if people report that there's the possibility of a bear, I'm going to make sure that I try to avoid encountering that bear. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails available to you on the WBSM app. We are still taking entrants for a chance to win passes to fly on Cape Air. The service from New Bedford to Boston launches on the 29th. So just 2 weeks from today, you'll be able to take the first flight. I'm actually going to be on that first flight. So we'll be able to report back to you exactly what it's like getting on the plane in New Bedford and flying to Logan. And then I can report what it's like flying back, because I'm not going to go bring a car up there and leave it or try to have somebody give me a ride. So I'm just going to take the plane back. But you can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Cape Air is graciously giving away a pair to celebrate the launch of this new service. Let's take our first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500.
You left me crying. Can't teach me about tomorrow.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to be going to the newsroom in just a moment. When we come back on the other side of that, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A reminder, it is Money Monday. So we'll be joined by Manny, the Money Man Resendiz, coming up on the 7 o'clock hour. And then New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo returns with us in the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll talk with him about everything that's happening with the City Council, including this decision by the council to basically filibuster anything that the mayor wants to get done that they feel is non-essential. So what does that mean? We'll find out. What does this mean to the continued operation of the city? We'll find out. Right now, though, let's find out about all the top stories of the day with Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
Three bodies pulled from Lake Michigan. A teen girl in New York run down on purpose. And the memorial for Charlie Kirk is set.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Chicago police are investigating the discovery of several bodies in Lake Michigan. On Saturday, three bodies were pulled, including two children, and it appears to be connected to a domestic dispute. Police say the body of an infant girl, a 31-year-old woman, and a 6-year-old boy are in the process of being identified. A public memorial for Charlie Kirk is set for next week. The memorial will take place on September 21st inside State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. President Trump is expected to be in attendance. A teenager too young to legally drive is facing charges after he lost control of a car and struck an elderly pedestrian in Brooklyn. Larry Kofsky has that story.
Police say it happened Sunday morning in East New York on Pennsylvania Avenue. The Daily News reports that's when a car driven by a 15-year-old boy went out of control, striking a 71-year-old man who was standing on the sidewalk next to a utility pole. The pole was toppled. The boy tried to run but was apprehended nearby. The pedestrian was taken to Brookdale Hospital in stable condition. Police say the car was stolen or taken without permission.
President Trump is expected to see the Fed's cut interest rates after months of complaining that the action was long overdue. The Federal Reserve has indicated it will announce a rate cut later this week following a series of poor job reports. President Trump has been going after Fed Chair Jerome Powell, referring to him as too late Powell, for his refusal to cut rates. The FBI is facing questions after more than a dozen animal shelter employees were hospitalized for toxic smoke exposure. The incident happened in Billings, Montana, after the FBI conducted a controlled burn of meth nearby. The smoke also forced about 75 animals to be evacuated. Another member of the Biden administration is criticizing the former president. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told NBC's Meet the Press Biden should not have run for re-election. He added Biden should have made the decision sooner. Buttigieg was responding to an excerpt from former Vice President Kamala Harris's upcoming book, where she called Biden's decision to seek re-election reckless. Police say a 16-year-old girl is dead after being intentionally struck by a driver in Queens on Saturday morning.
Cops say it happened just after 4 a.m. on Benham Street and Roosevelt Avenue in Elmhurst. The New York Post reports Johanny Gomez Alvarez had walked out of a bar with her boyfriend, her mother, and her mother's friend when a 38-year-old man who was drunk spewed lewd comments at her. Police say a fight broke out and the man got into his SUV, went up onto the sidewalk, and plowed into Gomez Alvarez and her mother. The mother was taken to the hospital in stable condition, but her daughter died. Cops say the driver later crashed into a parked car and was arrested. I'm Lisa Salvati.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is endorsing Zohran Mamdani for the New York mayoral race. Hochul made the announcement over the weekend in an op-ed with the New York Times. The governor says Mamdani is committed to a safer and more affordable New York City. She says that the city's next mayor should not surrender one inch to President Trump. Mamdani is the frontrunner in a crowded four-way race featuring former governor Andrew Cuomo, incumbent mayor Eric Adams, and Republican Curtis Sliwa. Lord of the Rings star Sean Astin will be SAG-AFTRA's next president. He was elected to lead the Actors Union on Friday, receiving almost 80% of the vote. Astin follows in the footsteps of his mother, Patty Duke, who served as the union's president from 1985 to 1988. He succeeds Fran Drescher, who decided not to run for re-election. In a statement, Astin said, "Now is the time for optimism and creativity." New Haven made pizza history on Friday after claiming a new Guinness World Record title for the largest pizza party. 4,525 people were in attendance. The previous record was 3,357 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The goal was to get at least 5,000 people to eat at least two slices during the event.
WBSM Sports.
Patriots over the Dolphins 33-27 yesterday afternoon, and the Red Sox over the Yankees at Fenway 6-4. Sox are off tonight. They host the A's tomorrow.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We've got some clouds in store for the next few days. Mainly cloudy today, 74, down to 52 tonight. 71 tomorrow with a few clouds. Wednesday, more of the same, 70. Thursday, 73 with partial sun. Clearing out by Friday, sunny 76. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me.
And welcome back in. And as you're getting ready to head out the door on this nice 60 degree morning, feels like fall. Although it is going to warm up in the afternoons this week. We're going to be in the 70s, mid 70s, really, throughout the course of the week, including getting up to almost 80 on Friday. But you're going to be feeling a little bit chillier in the morning. And so as it starts to feel like fall and you're seeing the kids get on the school bus, well, you could be part of that. If you are looking to earn some extra money, if you are looking to have a job that allows you to work around the kids' school schedule, or maybe you're just looking for something that will put a little money in your pocket while also benefiting the community, Tremblay Bus Company is hiring bus drivers, van drivers, monitors, and bus mechanics. All you have to do to apply is go to tbcbus.com, Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and all the information is right there, whether you want to fill out an application online or the information about when you can go down to their offices and apply in person. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I've never driven anything like a bus. I don't have a license for that. I don't have a commercial driver's license. But that's okay, because if you are interested in the job, they will make sure that you get your CDL. They will help you. They will train you. And then you'll be on your way to getting a CDL and being able to drive a school bus and help kids get to school each day. So again, tbcbus.com for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. I always thought, too, when I was a kid, I said, being a bus driver must be the best job in the world, because you got to get up early in the morning, but then you just go and you drop the kids off at school, and then you get to go home for a whole bunch of hours until it's time to go pick up the kids and bring them home again, and then you're done for the day. But I didn't realize when I was a kid that bus drivers do a lot more than that. Driving kids to field trips, bringing kids from school to school for different functions and things that go on. Multiple routes for multiple schools. So there's a lot that they could use your help with. One of the other stories that we have up at WBSM.com, and this happened, a lot of the times on Fridays, we have what's called the Friday News Dump, where you get a bunch of stuff that's been going on earlier in the week, and they just tell you about on Friday. But this was a case where we actually didn't, this is a story that had been building over a couple of days. And that, the latest development had happened on Friday. But this took place in Falmouth. There was an 18-year-old in Falmouth who was arraigned Friday on charges related to alleged threats to conduct a school shooting. So this young man, Ian Fotheringham, was arraigned on criminal charges, quote, for his role in making threats about conducting a school shooting. Apparently, he had been making threats, saying that he was allegedly going to shoot up a school, but he didn't specify which one. And he also had been saying, allegedly, that he was refurbishing firearms in his room. And police showed up at his house. He consented to allow them to search the home, or someone did. It just said a consented search of Fotheringham's home did not find any illegal firearms. Then, in early September, now that happened back in August, in early September, school safety monitors reported seeing a suspicious male walking in the woods behind a school. The police did not specify which school it was. The school monitors told police they believe that he was, quote, casing the school. Police later identified Fotheringham as that person. And they were able to get a search warrant for his home and for his phone. And on his phone, they found photos of the Columbine High School shooting. Now, that happened in 1999. So, if it was one thing to have, if he had photos of a recent school shooting, you might say, okay, well, maybe he just was looking at news stories about that. But this was Columbine. This was 1999. This was 26 years ago. And when they conducted the warrant search of his home, they found a large 3D printer that they said was capable of producing a firearm. So they took him into custody on Thursday at about 12:30 p.m., and then they arraigned him Friday in Barnstable District Court on a charge of threatened use of a deadly weapon in a public building. And he's been ordered held until a dangerousness hearing set for tomorrow. So here we have a case where hopefully, it seems like they caught someone before they could carry out on this threat. And people might look at this and say, well, what did he actually do? You can't charge somebody for potentially committing a crime. But in this case, the threat against the school was the crime. In that they probably, they would have said, okay, well, we're not going to pursue charges against you for a threat against the school if it didn't look like there was any way that he would carry it out. But then as the investigation continued and as he showed up at the school, now it's starting to look like he's going to carry out that threat. So yes, then it becomes something that they can actually get charges that would stick. And even then, this still might not. But at least they feel, the DA's office feels that they have enough to actually charge him now. A judge could still say, they arraigned him and they held him, so the judge is certainly taking this seriously enough. But when it comes to the trial, they could look at this and say, well, he didn't actually do anything. when it comes to things like schools, you can't mess around. You can't just say, well, just because he has the desire and the means, well, that doesn't mean he's going to do anything. I mean, you got to be ahead of this. And it seems like the Falmouth police were, but we'll see where this goes. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I've got another break I've got to take here. Let's take care of that, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in. You will not be miserable, though, if you head on out to Brack's Grill and Tap for lunch today. Whether you go to Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton or Brack's Tavern in Middleborough, you are going to get yourself a delicious lunch at an affordable price. They have $12.99 lunch specials that will fill you up and keep you fueled up for your day. And if you can't make it out there for lunch, that's all right. Stop in for dinner. They always have great specials. They have great drink specials as well. And it's a really laid-back atmosphere, but it's kind of like one of those things where it's casual and comfortable, but yet you still feel like you went somewhere, you know? And that's what I like about Brax, is it's got that laid-back atmosphere, but you could take the family out there to eat, but yet you could also take a date there as well. Just don't take a date there while your family's there, because then you could get yourself in trouble. But the idea of it being, you know, this kind of caters to whatever you need the night to be kind of place. And there's very few places like that around. Brax is definitely one of them. So stop in and tell me that it doesn't become one of your new favorite stops. Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and Brax Tavern in Middleborough. Make sure you follow all three of them on Facebook and Brax Cafe in Newport so that you can always see all the great specials and events that they have going on at each one of those locations. So I didn't expect this story to blow up like it did. This story last week where, if you remember, I was talking about Crocetti's Market, how they had put out a Facebook post offering a job to Arthur T. Demoulas, the former CEO of Market Basket, who was fired last week by the board of directors. I mean, when you really look at it, kind of pushed out by his sisters. And so there's a lot that has gone very well under RDT's leadership of Market Basket. They don't see it that way, or they don't see the risk worth of reward for what they think his plans are for the future of Market Basket, and also how he's been operating kind of independently without consulting the board and setting up a succession plan that involves his own children and doesn't include the family members of his sisters. So it's a family drama for sure. But Crocetti's couldn't help getting in on the fun and offering RDT a job. And they just put it up there as kind of, I would assume, a tongue-in-cheek post. Now, that's not to say that if he didn't want to come and run the place that they wouldn't entertain that offer, but I think they're doing okay. But like Market Basket, it's a family-run and family-started company, although they didn't go, you know, public like Market Basket did. So here is this post that I saw that I thought, you know, made me laugh. And I said, well, let me write about this. And it's a good way to kind of shine a light on another family market that's been around forever when, you know, what else are we going to write an article about that tells people about Crocetti's Market? Well, apparently this story has gone viral. It's been our biggest story of the month so far. And it just keeps getting more and more people reading it and sharing it every day. And I'm looking at our Facebook page and I'm like, well, where did this come from? Because, you know, not that Facebook is an accurate judge necessarily of who's reading a story, but there wasn't a lot of comments on it. There wasn't a lot of shares on it. You know, it seemed to just do as well as any other story that we write. Nothing that would make it go viral. And then I went over to the Crescetti's page and they shared it. And everybody on that page is having a blast in the comments. So if you get a chance and you want something entertaining, go check that out and see, you know, what the loyalty is like for this market. And see how it's a place that has folks, you know, kind of divided. Some of them are like, I really wish he would come and work for you. Because if he could do for you what he did for Market Basket, imagine what that would be like. And then other people who are like, I don't want anything to change about Crescetti's. I want it to stay exactly the same. But it was pretty fun reading through some of those comments. And, you know, sometimes it's good to have, especially with all the bad news we've had going on. And even that Market Basket story is kind of bad news, at least for RDT and his supporters. But it's fun to be able to look at it and say, well, but here's at least an angle of it that can give everybody a smile. All right, I got one more break I got to get in here. We will be back in a few moments.